Oh yeah, quad pre-roll week, starting with ZipRecruiter. They use powerful technology to find and match the right candidates up with your job, proactively presenting candidates to you. You can easily invite your top choices to apply. Now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Oh, the holidays, they're coming. So is the new year. That means it's the best time to get your fight camp on. Take advantage of their holiday deal going on now. If you purchase this December, you'll get an additional pair of gloves for free. Just go to fightcamp.com/vanity to get an additional pair of gloves for free during December. Go to joinfightcamp/vanity. It's the holiday season. Once again, you know, just reminding you, whether you're looking for a gift or a stocking stuffer, Manscaped has the tools to guarantee you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. I don't even know what that is. White elephant competition.
Like a
I don't
Yankee know what that swap, is. Like a Secret Santa type thing.
That would be such a baller move to show up at one of those with a bunch of Manscaped stuff.
Manscaped has served more than 4 million men worldwide. If my math is correct, that's almost 8 million balls. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/JRVP. And finally, if you want to give a truly meaningful gift this holiday season, go to paintyourlife.com. I, of course, have my beautiful
Stop
painting.
Turning around when you say that.
I just like to look
Why
at
you
my
have
painting to,
look to
remember what
as
it
if
is.
It moves around.
It's my dearly departed turtle. Seaweed.
You don't just have to have dead things to get painted.
No.
You can paint
you can get
whatever.
Pictures of your family, your wife, anything. Get 20% off your painting and free shipping. Text the word vanity to 64,000. That's vanity to 64,000 for 20% off and free shipping. Now on to a show where we've got a rude LA firefighter, a man who got out of a morgue, and Kim Jong-un's fashion move coming up in episode 133 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President, do you consider yourself a violent person? Do you like to kill?
It pays the bills.
Excited for this one. Fresh off our Miami trip together, Anthony and I. Well, what is that line from, though, that you
I'll explain it later.
Employed?
I'll explain it later. I think people will either get it, or when I explain it at the end, they'll know. But you either saw the 6-minute trailer or you did not. And I've watched it 10 times. I love it. But we'll talk about that later. Before we get into the Miami thing, I'm going crazy in my place. Like an hour and a half ago, I go to Trader Joe's. I pick up some stuff for dinner. You know, I get some essentials. I come back and I put everything away, and all of a sudden I can hear a cricket. I don't know if I got it at Trader Joe's. I don't know if it just like came into my house when I came home from Trader Joe's, but there's a cricket that I cannot quite locate that is just chirping its fucking face off.
Oh my God.
And if I'm just downstairs, like right now with my earphones on, I can't hear it. But if I take the earphones off, like I want to scream. The dog is annoyed. We're all like running around looking for this fucking cricket. I don't know how long crickets live. I've gone through my fridge. It's not in the fridge, but I can't find it. I don't know what is going on, and it's slowly making me insane. You know, it's not the size of the mountain. It's the pebble in your shoe, and this cricket is a pebble in my shoe. But I'm sure
I think crickets
now
live forever. We have crickets that
that's
sometimes.
Not, I mean, that's quantifiably untrue. Crickets do not live forever. They're not immortal creatures.
Sometimes, they sneak into the walls of our house. And it does drive me a little crazy. A little bit of a cricket issue around here.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had an issue. I don't know what's going
never
on.
Never had one in my house.
I hope it dies soon. If I'm upstairs, if I'm somewhere else, I can't hear it. But it's annoying.
Rummy like can't him. Find it?
No, Rummy, I don't think it bothers Rummy as much. Like, we were playing, a little chase a little earlier. And then he just, like, stopped and was like, wait, what is that sound? And was, like, looking around for it. Jumped up on me and was like, what's happening here? Mm. But hopefully it just stops. Because I've never had it happen before. But yeah, I got back yesterday from the wedding. It was a fun wedding. I mean, I feel like Greg, it was like a blink and you miss it appearance at the wedding. Greg got in morning of. I got in like kind of late the night before. I order room service. And it takes me, I haven't stayed at a hotel in years. So it takes me forever to figure. I'm like looking for the room service menu for an hour before I realize, oh, you have to scan some weird thing and find that. I order some dinner, and I'm just kind of watching TV. I go to bed. I'm exhausted. And I'd slept on the flight. Like I felt okay. Fell asleep, and I wake up at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The wedding is at 4. So I jump in, and Greg is like, let's get a drink beforehand at like 3:30. I jump in the shower, put on a suit. I'm feeling good, but I have not eaten anything. I've eaten nothing. And if anyone of our listeners have ever been to a wedding, you need to have a couple drinks to get through the ceremony. It's not the wedding. It's sitting at the ceremony and trying not to laugh at all the dumb shit they end up saying. Catch up with our friend Rogan. It's good. And then the ceremony is beautiful. Beautiful ceremony. It's like right as like the sun's starting to set. People who are just like at the beach are watching. Mike's bride could not have looked more beautiful. Just absolutely stunning. And it's like, and you know, Mike is in his 40s like us, and she is in her 20s. And so like half the wedding are people in their 20s. Half of them are people mine and Greg's age. And you could easily tell, as soon as the ceremony was over and it went to like the after party, you could tell who was who. Because the 22-year-olds, 20-something-year-olds are getting after it. And the older people are just like, God, can you believe it's only 6 o'clock? Like, everyone's just like, we're having a great time. We're loving it, but we're tired. We're all tired people. And none of us are dancing. We go to eat dinner. I'm like, finally, I can eat. I've had a couple drinks, but I'm like, now I can get some food in my stomach. And the waiter, I've got half a chicken left. And the waiter just takes it. And I'm like, okay, let's see how I could be in trouble. I'm talking to friends.
You're putting all this on the half a chicken?
It didn't help me because, and I'm still fine. I'm not embarrassing myself. I'm not
all
slurring
this. That's something must have really.
I'm not slurring my words. No. But later on, like an hour or so later, and things are starting to wind down. Like the 20-year-olds have taken over the dance floor and the DJ.
Hot.
The music is shit that I've never even heard of before. But these kids are going crazy, and all the old people are starting to drift out. And Greg and I light up like the last bit of like a joint on the balcony. And 5 minutes later, I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm like, I'm going to bed right now. I went upstairs because I knew when room service ended in the hotel. I go upstairs. I order a cheeseburger. I eat it and then passed out immediately. I don't know how much longer you stayed at the wedding after I left, Greg, but I was like, I have to leave right now. Thank God I'm staying in this hotel because I could not do it. Now, it was like one or two hits, but it was bedtime for Bonzo, man. I had to go right away. And I had a good time. I was glad to be there. Mike came up to me and he was like, I might ask you for a favor later. And I'm like, oh, you want me to give a speech? I was like, you had told me before like that you didn't want me to anymore. And he goes, no, I asked you to. You said yes. And then the next week on your podcast, you said you did not want to do it. You just like, and I'm like, I assume people don't listen to my podcast.
But yeah, his friend, I believe it was Pierce, right, said that he passed that along to Mike. Because Mike doesn't listen to our podcast, never has. I don't think he ever will. Pierce really wanted to have him listen to the episode where we were asked who was the worst influence on our lives, and we each said Mike Valdez Valley.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, like Rogan, our friend Rogan had gone to dinner the night before, and he said it was mostly the 20-year-olds there, mostly the 20-somethings. But he made a joke about it being Mike's second wedding. And it was like fucking record scratch where people are like, we're not talking about that. And Rogan's like, what the fuck do you mean? That's all we're going to talk about. Like, and I told Mike, I was like, you do not want me to give a speech. All of my jokes, and it was just jokes, but they're all about how this is wedding number two. And I'm looking forward to seeing everyone again in 15 years. maybe, you know, I think I can see you guys lasting forever as long as she never ages. Would have been the jokes that would not have been that would not have gone over well with anyone. No one whatsoever.
I would have enjoyed it. First of all, don't you remember, you know, we brought you back to your hotel. So I wasn't at the wedding any longer, you know, to your room. The wedding was about to end anyways. So we made it. We made to the end.
I didn't. It wasn't an Irish goodbye situation.
No, it was ending. But at first we, you know, said goodbye to you. And we just saw the way you were making your way through like the dance floor and maybe wondering where the elevators were. And Rogan and I just kind of looked at each other and we were like, we should go with Anthony. There's no way he finds his way back.
I appreciate it. I don't know how I would have done it. I don't know how I would have done it. Cause I mean, it was a labyrinth to where the wedding was.
True.
And there were two separate hotels in the same building, which I thought was weird. But yeah, thank you guys for getting me back. It was like I was 100% fine, then all of a sudden, like, bedtime for Bonzo.
That is an accurate statement. You were having a great time. We all had that same feeling of like, man, this has been a great night. And then, like, you know, Roggen's wife Jess would be like, it's 6:45 p.m.
I know.
My God.
It feels like it's like been 1 a.m. And then, like, you know, a couple hours later, it's like, whoa, you know, it just felt like, and it's like, oh, it's 8:15. It's like, wow, yeah. what is happening? And Anthony was definitely, you know, having fun. And then all of a sudden it just went from having a good time to good night. But that was fine. It felt like a mature way to go. I was back in my hotel room, you know, before 10:30.
Wow.
And it's like, yeah, there we go.
I didn't feel bad about it at all. And like, I would look out at the dance floor and be like, am I not enjoying myself? Like, these people are having so much fun. And then I remembered they're in their 20s.
They were
in their 20s.
No, she's I think 29. So yeah,
they're great age.
Yeah, great age, upper 20s. There's a lot of Cuban music, a lot of like just, you know, pop music at first, then a lot of Cuban music dancing. And we spent the last 2 hours of the wedding standing outside, which is where like the ballers were at, because you could actually speak. But that is an old person thing. It's like, it was so loud.
Well, the ballers were where we could hear ourselves. You sounded like an old man.
I know, but we haven't seen Roggen. I haven't like hung out with even Anthony in a setting like that in forever. And like, we're talking with some of Mike's friends from high school too, and it's like, it was the loudest goddamn wedding I've ever been to. I mean, it was a great wedding, and everything Anthony said was true about she was so beautiful, and the ceremony was like great, and it was so Miami that, I don't know, there was just like something about it that was so Miami. And like he said, it's at this hotel and there's stairs like leading to different parts of the hotel, and just tons of people that weren't invited to the wedding just like watching it as a show, and it was beautiful and all that was great. But like, yeah, I'd like to talk, and I don't want to go out on the dance floor.
Yeah, I talked to Roggen and his wife Jess for pretty much the whole thing. They were sitting next to me, and it was great to catch up with them. I hadn't seen them in forever. That we had a good time. There was a funny moment between me and Roggen's wife where I brought up one of our old friends from college, and they were like, Roggen's like, you know, my wife hates her. Like, hates her. And I was like, why? And then like, she cheated on, she helped like one of our other friends, I'm gonna try to not get in any trouble by not giving any too many details here, slept with one of our friends while he was dating his now wife, that she is very good friends with, that Roggen's wife is very good friends with the wife of our friend who cheated with this other girl. And I was just like, oh, I remember that being a huge thing, like at the end of our senior year, that it happened. That was like a huge thing that everyone had to get through. And I was just like, do you hate all the women that cheated on his wife with? Or just that one? And the look on her face, like, I've never made someone laugh as hard as I made her laugh at that. And I thought it could have gone either way. But it was fun. It was good. It was just good to catch up with those guys.
We should bleep out the name. Yeah. Everyone was great.
Did I say anyone's name? I don't think I said anyone's
name.
Yeah,
you said name there.
Yeah, let's bleep it. Let's bleep it just
bleep
for,
it
just
twice.
For the sake.
Let's bleep it both times. Beep the first name, beep the nickname. No, I've been so happy. Like, anytime I've taken a plane out of town or done anything, I mean, there is something to having not lived in the same way or experienced things over the last couple of years, that like every time I do, it feels great. And that was part of the reason why I was like happy to be back in the hotel room at 10:30. I'm leaving on a plane the next morning or whatever that early and going back to work. So I was fine with all that. But like, it was great. It was great to just like do anything different.
I was mad because I stayed an extra day. I left Monday morning. And I'm like, this will be great. No one even, like, all of my friends are going to be gone. Everyone's leaving Sunday. It's just me in this hotel right on the beachfront. And I'm going to spend the day at the beach. I haven't had a day at the beach in forever. It'll be great. I wake up at like 9 a.m. with the worst crick in my neck I've had. And I don't know what I did. It was the hotel pillow where I was like moving around too much. But I was in like true pain where I just laid in bed and tried not to move my neck for the entire day.
Oh my God, you guys.
It's 48 hours later.
It's
not like I did it on the dance floor. It was like I did it in my sleep.
We know
somehow.
You didn't do it on the dance floor.
I did it in my sleep somehow, and it was bad. But Rummy was great with a dog sitter. He was thrilled. He was a little concerned when I left at 6 in the morning. He's like, "What? You're getting a bag. What's going on? This is weird." And then when the dog sitter came, she texted me and she was like, he is like delighted and a little bit confused. Like, couldn't have been more excited to get to spend a few days with her. And then when I came home, I was like, take Rummy out. So when he comes back, I'm here. And I kind of like hid behind a pillar in my place. And she's like, Rummy knew. She's like, Rummy knew something was up. He was like looking around for you. If he saw a guy that looked like you, he would stop and stare. Like, he was missing you. He would like sleep next to my shoes. And then as soon as he walked in the door, like, I must have seen my luggage or something, but just made a beeline.
Yeah,
possibly. Made a beeline and was like so excited, it like almost made me cry for 2 minutes. And then was totally back to normal. Like, it wasn't like extra happy that I was there. Didn't want to like cuddle with me. It was just like, I'm really excited and now it's business as usual. So that's the kind of loyalty I get from my dog. But it was nice to know I could leave him with someone for a couple days, although I will have to get into the kennel business at some point. Because it was fun to travel. It was more fun than I thought. And fun's the wrong word, but it wasn't as hellacious as I expected, even though I still do not understand Clear. I do not understand. I've used Clear twice, both times since the pandemic. It's been a shoes-off, belt-off, jacket-off situation, and I thought that was not the point of Clear. So I do not get it. Other than that, it was all good. I don't know if Greg has anything else to say about the wedding, but it was delightful. I got to talk to Mike for a couple seconds, and I was like, your wife, your bride is absolutely stunning. I've never seen a more beautiful bride. And he was like, I've never heard you say anything sincere, so I don't even believe you. And that was pretty much our entire interaction. I was surprised to find out that Mike has a spiritual advisor. Remember when the guy who was the officiant goes like, I became an officiant because I wanted to do weddings. And I thought he was about to go into like the money he makes. I was laughing. I think we were laughing the whole time at the idea of him. Just
tread lightly. He had a couple analogies in there that maybe I was just projecting, but I just thought Mike, who, you know, is like a PR executive, you know, great wordsmith, was pissed because this guy telling some of these stories up in front of everyone, I was just thinking like, oh, Mike's thinking he could have done a much better job than this.
I don't know. I think that I thought the guy moved it along well. You know, he definitely had a relationship with Mike, so I didn't mind the minister. And I've hated some ministers, and if you guys can believe that, in the past. But it was a beautiful wedding, quick, super fun, great second wedding for Mike. Great second wedding.
I know. I always feel like I didn't. I think of things I should have said to Mike later. I know he's not going to listen to this, you know.
People are all, like, I think people are so busy at their own wedding that I don't think
they don't even remember.
I don't think it was like a big, I don't think it was a big deal, but we
Well, for him, it was all for her. Like, my wedding legitimately was, you know, one of the most fun days of my life, like the actual wedding and everything afterwards. But this was Mike's second wedding. And it's like, if I was my age now, like, I wouldn't you wouldn't throw the same wedding, first of all, the first time around, much less the second time around. So it was like all Mike was doing was like making this as like amazing an experience as he could for his wife. And like, you know, we're our age. We don't need a second
maybe
wedding.
Maybe he's
for
really,
us. It's
really
not for us.
Happy to. Well,
he,
of course
no,
he's
he
happy,
is.
But I know what you mean. The day itself.
He was happy. His sons were a part of it, which was really cute.
His son was his best man, adorable. Which was really Aww. Great. That
yeah,
was
he's,
so
got, he's got three sons. The other two were just crying their eyes out. Like, why does he get to be the best man? What's wrong with us, Dad?
They each got to be part of the wedding. How about that? Mike's friend, you know, Pierce took a picture with me because I guess his son, or I think it was his nephew or something, was a big fan of the Around the NFL podcast. He was trying to keep that like separate from you.
One guy, like an older guy, came up to me to be like, "Hey, I'm a big fan," and I gave him maybe like 5 seconds of my time. Like, I was just like, I wasn't trying to be rude, but I was just talking to friends I hadn't talked to in 15 years and just didn't want, like, the guy didn't have anything to say. He was like, "I'm a big fan of your comedy." I was like, "Thank you." And then just rudely turned away and went back to what I was doing. But other than that, not a lot of pictures, but the picture of us, of the Tulane boys, actually came out great. Mike like handed his camera to one of his like youngest sons. And I was like, "We're not getting a fucking picture." And then he sent it and it was actually really good. So yeah, great wedding. Glad I went.
I want to see a picture of you guys all dressed up.
I certainly bitched about
it. We have exactly one picture.
I know.
We have exactly one picture. I didn't take it. And I like hearing Anthony's like recounting of these, because he always gets like almost every detail like slightly wrong. But like, is it worth correcting him that it was Rogan who just handed it to some random kid that he had never seen before and said, "Here, take a picture," which like with a lot of confidence. And you even questioned him in that moment. You're like, why would you do that? He's like, kids take the best pictures. And it was a nice picture.
I mean, that's not a saying that people say that kids take the best pictures. Yeah,
that's what he said.
I did misremember it as Mike giving it to his son and not Rogan giving it to some random kid. But other than that, it was a great time. I did enjoy it. I don't think we didn't get any like good like great gossip. We got some updates on some friends, but it was all very positive, with one exception, which we will not get into.
That's the best part. Speaking about mostly
positive, with one exception. Let's get into Christmas Tree Gate at the Jesselnik House. Okay, I don't want to talk about this too much because it is the bane of my existence. I believe I've told you that it went from like, okay, I will allow a Christmas tree, to I've got to measure how tall my ceilings are, which I'm not thrilled about. And there's no real place for the tree. It's like, we've got to figure something out. And there's a reason to put it here. We can enjoy the tree here. We can come downstairs and see the tree if we put it over there. And I hate all this shit. Now I find out their roommate, my friend who was like, I'm getting you a tree. I'm going to decorate my place, but I'm going to decorate yours a little bit too. My friend's roommates are going to be out of town for the entire month of December. So they are not decorating their place at all, which means I'm taking the full force of the Christmas decorations at my place. And I want to be like, just decorate your place and then not my place at all. But now it's like my place is going to look like a fucking Target, and I'm not happy about it. I do like the smell, but I don't want to do any of the other stuff. Like, do you
the fact secret? That you're going along with this though tells me a lot. Tells me a lot about your relationship with this friend, that you're willing to accept this tree entering your life. It's quite a compromise.
Everything I know about relationships I've learned from my dad, which is like, let them walk all over you and try not to be home that much. You know, like if they really want something, like go ahead and let them do it. You're not going to win any of these fights. Just to suffer silently and try to be out of the house a lot. And it worked for him. You know, it's like the path of least resistance. I could put up a fight here, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to allow it to happen and try to stay out of the way as much as possible. And if they're like, oh, could you? No, I'm not going to help. I'm not going to help put the tree up. I'm not going to help take the tree down.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are.
I mean, how could it go up without you? You're going to need to help unless... What, are you going to hire someone to do it?
There's a service in the building that brings trees and gets rid of them. So I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if I've got to go drive to some Christmas tree farm and throw it on the roof and bring it home, but I hope to fuck not.
You might find yourself like warming up to it. So we have a fake little tree. We used to have like a real tree, but... You know, Walker, when he was young, would always mess with it. So we might go back to the real tree this year. But like, I'm ready to put it out. Like, I'm excited about it. And like, Emeka's kind of making fun of me because I'm the one that's like the most excited for Christmas now. And I didn't used to be that way. Like, I have signed us up for multiple different like things where you drive your car through lights. Or you like walk through like a little winter wonderland. There's one place
where you can sled.
Yeah, I love drunk driving. No, you know, like those holiday lights types of things. Yes. And there's one where you actually walk through, but there's one where you can like sled. You know, I learned these from like a friend's wife, and now I'm into it. And like, we're signed up for this like all month long, all Christmas, all the time.
I hate it so
embrace
much.
Embrace it.
My parents used to make us go to Christmas Eve Mass. And we didn't mind Christmas Eve Mass. Was like, okay, we would go to Benihana, I think either before or after. Usually, I think now we go, I forget, because I haven't gone to church with my family in a long, long time. But we used to go to Benihana first and then go to Mass. And so it was just like, how much liquor can you drink to get yourself through Mass, which I always enjoyed. You know, the drivers couldn't do it, but it was a fun tradition. Always liked Benihana on Christmas Day. But then after Mass, my parents would make us drive around the neighborhoods to the houses that had like really nice lights. And I hated it so fucking much. All I wanted to do was go home and try to go to bed as quickly as I could to wake up to presents. and I hated
it. But how old? Even when you were like a little kid? I mean, obviously my enjoyment is all about my kids' enjoyment. You know, they love it. How would you not? I'm sure there was a point where like the young Anthony was loving it.
I was never into the lights. I was into the presents. I liked the snow. I liked Santa Claus. I liked a lot of the stuff. Okay. But I did not like the lights at all. Mm. And is your family, have they gotten over yet that they have to spend Christmas with you this year? Or they don't get their 2-week vacation on the other side of the world?
Yeah, the quarantine situation in Japan isn't really easing up. So, no, they seem fine with that. I mean,
how often do they bring it up?
Emeka's definitely disappointed fairly often, I would say.
What would have to go on in the world? Like, how many variants would we have to have for her to miss this next year?
I mean, it's all up to the governments. They're finding new variants all the time here. I think that, like, we did the Christmas here. So to the kids, it was like they got double Christmas. They got one here, they got one there. And then the big thing there is New Year's. That's what they miss. And they miss going and seeing their grandparents, of course.
Okay, this time next year. Okay, things are still kind of bad. All right, they're better. They're going to keep getting better, but they're still pretty bad. Emeka is allowed to take the kids to Tokyo to visit. It's a coin flip if she can come back. Do you think she still goes? Do you think she risks a coin flip?
She needs to go.
To never see you again.
I mean, where did never come into this?
Because the world gets worse and worse and crazier, you know. They do a lockdown situation.
What is this, Station 11? I just read it, by the way. So it was great. No, I mean, I think she gets on that plane because she needs to get there, and she'll accept whatever consequences happen after that.
Yeah, I think so, too. I wouldn't be surprised if you wake up Christmas Day, roll over, and she's gone.
Well, if they're all gone, you know, next year, you know, can I come over to, you know, the set up Justnik place? You know, we, a couple of Christmases ago, we did what, Cats? We got Stone and Suck.
I love the Justnik and Rosenthal Christmases. Those are fun for me. So, and maybe this time next year, I'm back in Pittsburgh for Christmas. I do need to see my family at some point. Got to plan a trip home in the next couple of months once I can figure out something for Rummy. But yeah, I talked to my family during Thanksgiving, and it sounded interesting. It sounded like an interesting Thanksgiving that I'm sorry I wasn't there, but I'm not that sorry that I wasn't there. I'll leave it at that. And now it's time for, did we get any notes? No. All our ad reads are perfect. Everyone loves us. And now it's time for a place that's never perfect. Nobody loves it. It's Erica's Corner. Erica Temposi is our producer. She has a couple different podcasts of her own. She works for the NFL Network. Her girlfriend recently quit being a flight attendant, which we like. And we like to let her carve out a little bit of our own podcast for herself to either read a viewer question, read a viewer comment, play a game, talk about something she's seen. So, Erica, what do you have for us this week?
Okay, so this email jumped out to me and it really made me laugh. So this is from Lucy. Hey, everyone. I was there for the Brass Against P incident. They're actually
Let me stop you here in case people did not listen to last week's episode. We talked about the female singer of a band called Brass Against. And I guess it's a Rage Against the Machine cover band that plays with brass instruments. Sounds cool for a second. Urinating on a guy's face. On stage, a guy got on stage, sat down, and she peed in his face. And someone sent us the video afterwards. And it's not just like a little pee; it's not like a party trick. It is like she truly had to go, and it is absolutely disgusting. And the crowd is going nuts. So go ahead.
Right. So Lucy was in this crowd, and she says they're actually a really, really awesome brass band from New York, and they're touring with Tool in Europe 2022. She came out with drink in hand saying she made the mistake of not peeing before getting on stage and asked the audience if anyone would want to get peed on. The crowd went wild asking to get picked, and she picked someone but didn't call him on stage yet. They went on with their show, a mosh pit even opened up, and eventually she couldn't hold it or get to a porta potty. Called the dude up to the stage and, well, the rest is on video, LOL. It was a pretty big crowd. We all egged her on to do it. And the only issue I know some people had is that Rockville is an all-aged festival, so there were kids in the audience. I was standing next to a kid maybe 12 years old, so I'm sure the parents were not thrilled with that. Otherwise, it was definitely a good show.
What I love is that they would think that 12-year-olds would be offended by it peeing. This is all 12-year-olds laugh about. Like, this is the best concert any 12-year-old has ever been to. All those kids understand pee-pee and poopy. And couldn't believe that they incorporated it into it. Like, they're never going to stop talking about the time the lead singer of Brass Against peed on a guy's face. And it looks like, I mean, it's a fire hose situation. It's clear that she's been saving this up and had to go for medical reasons. But it does not look fun. It doesn't look like it was just like a fun thing he did. The guy gets absolutely leveled. What this reminds me of is when I recorded my first album, Shakespeare. I was in New York. And I did two shows. At the UCB Theater in New York, which is no longer there. Rest in peace, UCB. And the first show was terrible. The first show was on Cinco de Mayo. I did not think of that. You get, like, the sound is bad because people keep opening up beer cans. And I'm like, when one show goes bad, you know you're going to make the next show, like, amazing. And I'm feeling loose. I'm great. I'm making sure they're not opening beer cans until, like, the laughs are going, so it's, like, much quieter. And I get heckled. Some guy heckles me. He just yells out ninja. Like, I tell a joke about my brother being a black belt or something, and he yells out ninja, and I stop the show and then go back and forth with this guy, and it turns out he's the lead singer of a Rage Against the Machine cover band. And we're going back and forth. Like, the audience is laughing at him. I'm making fun of him. And I remember afterwards hearing them, like, bragging about how they were going to be on the album. They're like, we have to be on the album. That was so funny. They've got to use us. And so, of course, I cut it out. I think you can find it as a clip. I think I used it to promote. But I was mad. Do not heckle just to get on the album. No one likes it.
Did you cut him out just because you overheard that conversation?
That was a big part of it. Yeah. I could have used it. And, I mean, the audio isn't as great. Like, you can't hear what they're saying as much as what I'm saying. But I did not like that they were, like, proud of what they had done. They weren't, like, embarrassed. They were like, yeah, we got on the album. We're going to be on the album. And I was like, no, you're not. No, you're not.
It's kind of like... This lady was a little too proud about
being there.
About the peeing. Like, she could have just asked her bandmates. They do this all the time. I mean, I assume it's not to go pee, but just, like, I don't know, play something that's heavy instrumental for 2 minutes, and, like, the singer goes off stage, and then you come back on stage, and then you sing, like, the end of the chorus again. You could have pulled that off.
Yeah, that happens all the time. It's not like it's like you got to pee your pants if you're on stage, which of course does happen. But they would have gladly, if they're playing fucking brass instruments, yeah, of course they can play for 5 minutes while you run into and pee off face. As I like to call it.
You said, like, oh, this is, like, 12-year-olds would love it and everything. And I'm sure they would. Like, yes, there's a lot of pee and poop talk in my house with 6-year-olds. It's a little different to see, like...
See it.
It's a little different, yeah, to see it on a grown, like, an attractive woman peeing on the face of, like, a fan underneath. That's a little different. I've never seen that. Still, I haven't. I haven't seen the video. Don't want to.
Imagine if I pulled this shit. Imagine if I had been at Largo on Tuesday, and I'd been like, you guys, I didn't get a chance to go to the bathroom before my set. Does anyone want to get peed on? And, of course, the crowd would go nuts. And then bringing someone up on stage, having them lay there, and then I'd just have to stand there. Because the video clip you see is like 30 seconds. But imagine if it's just like 4 minutes of just nonstop peeing on someone's face while I'm just staring at the audience, holding the mic, not saying a word. It would be an epic, epic show. I'll have to remember to do that.
We got multiple emails, actually, like multiple emails, because last week or the week before when we talked about this, you were like, imagine, like, what if I'm going to do that on stage or something? And there were multiple people that were like, when Anthony tours again, like, he could pee on me. And I was like, This
using that voice, was it guys or girls saying this?
I think one of them was a guy and said that he would volunteer to get peed on, but Anthony was too much of a pussy to pee on him. And I'm like, well, yeah, in front of a live audience, like, probably. Yeah.
Not into what do they call it? Water sports? Not into it. don't do it to me. I won't do it to you. That's my thing. And when you go to see a Jeselnik show, I guarantee I do not pee on anyone. Yeah. I guarantee it. Erica, you had something you wanted to talk about too, about fan art we got?
Yeah, I got this amazing drawing from someone named, I'm totally going to butcher this, Neha Pai.
And their Twitter and Instagram is at @blank_slate0. And they drew, and I would describe it to you guys, but I'm just going to tweet it. So check out my Twitter after the show airs. It was a really, really cool fan drawing of sort of the show and different segments and a path that reminds me almost of like a Candyland following the path of JRVP. And I really loved it. It was really, really great.
And I will say, too, I will thank the Redditors who took my I Want Memes talk seriously. I kind of, like, glanced at it at one point and saw there were a bunch of people had posted memes and was like, okay, like, I'm sure they're – like, I wasn't expecting much. So I was just like, okay, there's a lot of this. And then one night before I went to bed, I scrolled through them and they had me dying laughing. I don't know, not all of them, but there were some very, very funny ones. People had people were very had a good sense of humor. It's usually me being mean to Erica and Greg during Recommendation Station, but I liked it. There was especially a great one, like a soccer one. It's like kids playing soccer, and it was just me kicking the ball into the faces of kids. Not me, but like another kid, and they're all labeled as like Anthony, and then like Greg's recommendation, like slam, Erica's recommendation, slam, and I must have watched it 10 times. So thank you guys for making this old man happy and giving me memes. I can't believe, I mean, if you had told me, you know, explained to me what a meme is 5 years ago and then told me I'd be thanking the
audience. I mean, you're not on the dance floor. You're in your hotel room on a wedding night at 10 p.m. You're asking for the people for memes. We are getting old. It's happening.
I'm gladly being in my hotel room at 10 o'clock, wolfing down a cheeseburger before I go to sleep and break my own neck. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. That song gets me in the mood. You know what gets me in the mood for, Erica?
Ad copy.
You know it.
You know what gets me in the mood? Just thinking about the 10 million job openings that are out there.
Mm.
Oh, only 7.6
sexy jobs.
And yet there's only 7.6 million unemployed job seekers. The issue is just getting worse and worse every month due to a mismatch of employees and qualified talent. You need that talent, Anthony.
Oh, yeah, you do.
You know where you can find that talent?
I got a pretty good idea.
It's ZipRecruiter.
That's right.
Anthony might
they got
might
zip
be
in
sounding
the title.
Sexy, but, I, no, but I mean, I'm not.
Do you guys need me to leave?
No. Stay here and watch us.
Employers doing anything they can these days to get people to work for them. They're offering discount programs, pet insurance, legal services, identity theft protection. If you can relate to any of the challenges of growing your team, that you need to try ZipRecruiter right now. You can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP.
Or you can be like us and call it UnZipRecruiter.
You know what's especially sexy about ZipRecruiter?
Tell
they
me.
Use their powerful technology.
Ooh.
They find and match the right candidates up with your job and then proactively present these candidates to you. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site in the U.S.
They're proactive. That's awesome. That's hot.
You can invite your top choices to apply for the job, which encourages them to act faster. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com.
They let you act faster, but you can slow it down if you want to, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. Let's try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Get jobs. Give jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Paint Your Life is back. Wow, Paint Your Life. What a fun holiday gift Paint Your Life could be for you. Anthony and I both got our paintings, not along the around the holidays, but it was a perfect gift.
I was a housewarming gift that I got. My brother talks it up all the time. Says every time someone uses their bathroom, they come out laughing.
And if you can't like be with your family in the holidays because of COVID or whatever, you just can't make it. It's like a hand painted compilation portrait from Paint Your Life. It's like being together without all the drama.
And it's also you could they don't say this in the ad read, but you could use it as a prank. Like if I haven't seen my parents in a long, long time, if I sent them like a 20-foot by 20-foot like painting of myself, they would have to put it up. They would have to find room for it somewhere. They couldn't just not do it. So I think that's another like thing you could do is just have like weird pictures of yourself. And because the quality is so good, the oil painting right. looks so good, you can force someone to put a picture of yourself up in their house.
Although I almost felt bad because the quality on my painting of the turtle, and they took some creative license putting seaweed on some rocks, and you know the frame is so great. Like I almost felt bad that such like a talented painter was painting this turtle, and it was kind of, you know, somewhat silly. I was like, it's almost like the talent's being wasted. But no, like you can get it as good as you want.
Yeah, I mean, I like how talented they are. Not just talented, but they also kind of check in with you to make sure you're happy with the progress of the painting. And, you know, I don't know what looks good, but they'll tell you, hey, if we crop it like this, if we recommend this background for it, you will get the best possible painting. I love that they're using their talents for for this purpose.
Yeah, at paintyourlife.com, you can have an original painting by a world-class artist done by hand at an affordable price. Great gift for grandparents, mother, parents. It's like the type of thing you leave up for a lifetime in the house. You can take different photos from different times, bring it all together. They can get creative with it. Their compilation portraits, like we said, can bring together family members who never had the chance even to meet. So you can send them multiple pictures, and they'll put you all together in a way that you describe to the artist.
Yeah, you can have like yourself surrounded by all your dead family members if you want to. And I love all these artists. They tell you their names, they tell you who's doing it. I would just think that if this had been around, if Paint Your Life had been around in, let's say, the 30s or the like 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, maybe history's a little bit different. You know what I mean? Maybe a certain famous painter we know gets a job as a painter instead of doing what he did.
It's a quick and easy process. You can get a hand-painted portrait in about 3 weeks. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. Right now is a limited-time offer. Get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word VANITY to 64,000. That's VANITY to 64,000. Text VANITY to 64,000. Paint Your Life. Celebrate the moments that matter most.
Use Paint Your Life. You could be saving millions and millions of lives. And that was
ad copy.
Greg, did you get the reference I was making?
Yeah, you know, just
waiting on the email we get about that.
Putting my head down and hoping, you know, we don't have to do a redo on that one. We won't. Paint Your Life is like, it's like an old friend by now.
Mm-hmm. They love us.
It really, no. I struggle to come up with like any ideas for holiday presents, so this solves it.
You're kidding. I write checks. Okay, I write checks and I send paintings of myself to people who do not want them. I gotta find something for this cricket. Let's get to headlines. This one's near and dear to my heart, this first one.
Love this first story. When you're a fashion icon, you know, like North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, people are going to try to jack your style. But unlike other fashion icons, North Korean's dictator makes the fucking rules. And he has reportedly banned leather trench coats in an effort to stop everyone from imitating his badass style.
Oh, it's not all leather jackets, it's just leather trench coats, like the long black leather trench coat that he has. I got one. That was a pandemic purchase for me that I have not worn yet. I still got the price tags on. I'm about to break it out. The weather's getting a little cooler, but I'm looking forward to it.
You're famously a big leather jacket guy.
Huge leather jacket guy. I have very few jackets that are not leather, and I hate them all. But I am a leather jacket whore. I will buy. You would think like you can buy one and have it for the rest of your life. I just keep on buying them. I don't know why. I've got so goddamn many, but I do have favorites. But I like the idea of being so mature that you run around the country that you run and own and tell everyone to stop copying your look. It's just and again, I'm on record as saying that when people make fun of North Korea, I feel like one day that they will become free, a free people. They will get this family out of there that's been putting them in work camps and making them miserable. And the North Koreans will find out that we've been laughing at them. Through their suffering, and they will hate us for it. So I feel bad about making jokes like that, but this is too hard to pass up. Don't copy my look. Like, what is the punishment for copying his look?
That's a good point. I'm not really sure. It was becoming like a problem in his mind. That was kind of spreading around the country. Originally, it was like the communist state elite who were like wearing it almost to like emulate their leader and kind of like show that they could afford leather coats. So it was like only like really rich people were buying them and hanging out. It was almost like in his circle of people, only the elite were like buying these coats. So he like, you know, he shows up to the big communist Christmas party or whatnot, and like everyone's jacking his style. I mean, to me, it seems like an Anthony type of move. Like, if you were running the country and they were doing that shit, like this seems extremely what you would do. Like, not allow it anymore.
Absolutely, and that kind of makes more sense. It's not the common people who are wearing these. It's like it's the rich people, and they don't want to, you know, flaunt their wealth in North Korea unless you're Kim Jong Un. Have they seen his wife? Did they ever find his wife? Remember how she just like stopped being in pictures? And they're like, he fucking killed her.
I don't think so.
I don't know if we ever saw it. It did like start, you know, trickling down to the common people too. They said that police said that wearing the clothes designed to look like the highest dignity is an impure trend to challenge the authority of the highest dignity. And then young men who had bought these coats were pissed. I don't know if there was much of a punishment in this case. They just were taken away, and they were just like, "We spent the money. We want our money back, or we want our coats back." And the government was just like, "No, we're taking your coats. You're not allowed to wear them anymore."
I wonder if they're locking them up in storage, or they're selling the coats, or they're boiling the coats and trying to get people to eat the coats. Because like a year or so ago, they took everyone's dog. They said a dog was a sign of opulence. We don't want that. And they're like, "Oh, we're during a food shortage. All of a sudden, a dog's a sign of opulence. We're not. You're eating our dogs." So maybe these jackets are going somewhere. Maybe they're farming them out. Ungrailed.
Maybe Kim Jong-un would like invited his brother over and they had a little like fashion show with all the leather jackets that they picked up.
That's what I would do. Does he have a brother?
I don't know.
No, didn't he killed his brother? He killed his brother in an airport with poison. The guy who got a fake passport to try to go to Euro Disney World or like Disney World France or whatever, which is one of the funniest ways to try to get out of North Korea that I can think of in recent memory. But I kind of support Kim Jong Un on this one. So don't copy my look. You know, if I go out on stage and I see a bunch of people wearing the same leather jacket as me in the audience, you know what I'm doing, Greg?
What?
Guess.
Making them eat dogs.
I'm pissing their. I'm pissing in their faces.
I got it.
If you come to a Jess Lenick show when I'm on the road again in a year or so, and you're in the front row, you're wearing the same leather jacket as me, and you keep your mouth open the entire time, like as wide as it can go, then there's a chance that I will make your dreams come true. It's a lot of requirements.
That would never happen at a BTS concert. Forgot to mention Emeka and Ellis going to the big show. Your goddaughter lost a tooth.
No.
Like 45 minutes before the show, started bleeding everywhere. They had to like run up to find a bathroom, get it under control, got to their seats, back in their seats like 1 minute before the show. Ellis didn't mind it at all, was standing for 3 straight hours enjoying the hell out of it.
I'm assuming a baby tooth.
Yes.
Did she hit it? Was it just like it was loose and she was like playing
with
it?
She was eating some pizza. And
the tooth came out. I'm glad she didn't miss any of the show. I'm sure she'll remember that for the rest of her life. And does she know all the songs? Is she singing along, or is she just kind of enjoying the experience of her sexual awakening?
No. I don't think it's going there. No, she does know all the songs. Only like four or so are in English, so she doesn't understand what they're saying, but she like has a mix.
She can sing it phonetically, like the Korean songs.
I don't know if she knows all the words to all the Korean songs. She probably kind of knows the general words. She definitely knows all the words to the English songs. But that's probably true of like a lot of the people there. Obviously, don't know all the words or the Korean words, and like most of their songs are in Korean. But yeah, she's got like she without anyone saying anything to her, like spent like the week or two before the show just like on her playlist, like really like gearing up for a show. That's how you know you're like a real. Real fan.
Does she have a favorite of the BTS guys?
I don't know. I've never asked. I don't want to know.
I was talking to a guy on Thanksgiving, and I was telling him I was bummed I was missing the the BTS concert. And he said he goes to the mall, the Korean mall, where they have like a store just of like of K-pop stuff. It's like all K-pop things. And he told his like niece that anything she wanted, he would get her, and he regrets the hell out of it because every day she's sending him to that mall to go buy more more shit, and it's got to be like this. It's got to be this guy, and they like sell out of that guy. So then she wants this guy, and there's like posters, T-shirts, everything. I would like for Ellis, I would take her to that mall, and I would just make sure that everything that I bought her, I got to get one in my size, and then the two of us would go out, just blood pouring out of our mouths. Walking around, blasting BTS. That sounds like so much fun.
Would you stand in 8 hours in a merch line on a day when there's not even a concert? Because that's what's going on outside of our workplace where Eric and I work, SoFi Stadium, today and last week. People are waiting 7-8 hours in the sun just to buy merch. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
Why?
There's no way I would ever do that. Never. I wouldn't wait 8 minutes. Lines are I'm allergic to lines. No, thank you.
It's like, I don't know. I mean, I know like there's other bands that have been very popular in the world, but that to me is like, I don't know. That is a next,
yeah,
is
new
a next level.
Level.
Yeah, all right, let's go to our second
story. Get a web page, dickheads.
All right. Let's go to North Korea, shall we? Let's stay there.
We were just there.
Stay there. Well, we're talking about, you know, South Korea, BTS, North Korea, fun place. Unless you're a smuggler who sold copies of the next Netflix hit Squid Game. And if you are one of those guys, you've been sentenced to death by a firing squad.
This is terrible. This is a tragic thing. But just imagine that guy being like, I can't believe this is what I'm dying for. Like, I can't believe I'm dying over bootleg Squid Game. When it's like... Get a Netflix account. I heard that that over 95% of North Koreans have a Netflix account.
Really?
No. No, they do not have Netflix in North Korea. They do not allow it. And if they did, they would not be like, "Oh, this let's have everyone get into the show about class inequality and the dangers of it of our people." Yeah, they do. They would. I mean, this is the worst thing you could get caught with.
If 95%, then this like punishment would feel extra mean. Like it wouldn't feel fair.
Mm-hmm. It's like when I get screeners of Netflix shows. It's like, motherfucker, why are you giving me physical copies of this? And you know how he got busted? He had these hidden pretty well, but they were underneath like a long black leather jacket. And it was like, and he was like, he heard about the ban on leather jackets right as he's walking in, and he's like, "Are you fucking kidding me? I'm the one thing I can't bring in here. I'm hiding the other thing I can't bring in here. There's two things I can't have. I've got them both." And like, was it like, did he have just like the complete season one DVD set on him,
or
did
flash
he have
drives.
Like a flash drives to like to sell multiple like the
yeah you know like a I mean I don't know how you know how it is you like stick it into your computer mm-hmm. basically yeah and you have a flash drive. It happened because it was at a school, and I guess the teachers heard about it.
It was a kid?
It wasn't a kid who sold it, but that someone was selling them at the high school. A student who bought one of the flash drives received a life sentence in prison, while six others who just watched the footage with him have been sentenced to 5 years of hard labor. Teachers and administrators at the school were also fired or faced forced labor in remote mines. You can't make this shit up.
Damn, Squid Game. They do not fuck around over there. They do not fuck around. Like, did we talk about this last week? There was a guy, it was an American visiting North Korea, like through his school. And he was staying in a hotel, and he broke into this room and like stole a giant banner off the wall, like a giant North Korean kind of propaganda banner. And they sentenced him to like 4 years of hard labor, and he died almost immediately.
I thought you like can't get over there. They were doing like school trips to North Korea.
I think they do some programs.
Semester at sea.
I don't think it was an exchange situation, but yeah, it was a guy who went through a school and got busted, and they're like, we take this very, very seriously. So I think you can get over there. I mean, why wouldn't you want to go? This time of year, The weather's just so beautiful. It's fun to watch the leaves change. And as long as you're not wearing a leather jacket or trying to watch the most popular show in the world, you're going to be fine. But damn.
I know. But the kid, I mean, sentenced to death by a fire squad. Did the kid life in prison just for watching? Supposedly, though, it's fairly popular. And so, like, you know, it's they're making an example of this particular situation. But there's been reports of, like, a lot of kids having it and secretly, like, watching it under their blankets at night and their portable players and stuff like that. And they basically, I think, took this one case and then, you know, made it a big story to scare everyone
away. It's so crazy because it's like the opposite of a water cooler show. You know how, like, you kind of have to watch Succession Sunday night so you can, like, you can read the articles on Monday and talk to your friends where, like, someone's like, did you see the Marvel episode? You got to be like, no. No, ma'am. Never even fucking heard of it. I don't know what you're talking about. Squid Game? I don't even eat squid. I don't play games. Like, you can't admit that you ever saw it. Unless you're the guy who's in jail for life for having watched it. Then you can be obsessed with it. You can just, that's all you talk about nonstop. Like, describe Squid Game to me. They're like, I'm happy to. I only watched it once. And I hope they watched it. I hope they really watched it and paid attention and didn't just, like, have it on in the background while they fucked around on their phone, because that would be even worse.
But what if they didn't even like it that much? Like, just like, that was okay. No, you're done.
Yeah, that'd be tough. You're done. I wonder if the firing squad is going to be a Squid Game situation where it is like a red light, green light. Just to make it fun, like, I would request that if I were going to die by firing squad. Let me see if I can get over this line in 2 minutes.
Well, people were saying the plot, you know, kind of parallels the reality for some in North Korea, because there is this idea that, like, if you make, it's a little different, obviously, but if you make too much money, you could be executed.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, like, if they're like this with all entertainment from South Korea. Like, if you got caught with a copy of Parasite a couple years ago, would they have been more lenient on you? Because Squid Game is much more of like a critique on that sort of culture than say.
So is Parasite? It's kind of two similar types of things. Well, they passed a law called the Elimination of Reactionary Thought and Culture last year, which carries a maximum penalty of death for watching, possessing any media from capitalist countries like South Korea and the U.S.
What?
Or like every country, just about. No, I mean, not every country. I guess I shouldn't say that.
What's that new movie? There's like a Chinese movie that's doing gangbusters where it's about like the Chinese military kicking the shit out of America in like some battle. Like,
yeah, they I know say what
it's
you're
like almost
about.
Like propaganda. They think that's like the reason it's doing so well. That
it's like Rambo in reverse, basically. No, not even kidding. Like, that's basically how it's described. It's like Rambo, except instead of like the Cold War and Sylvester Stallone, it's like they're taking down some U.S. pigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shit. And it's like, and there are some war scenes that are like they're just slaughtering the shit out of us. I was like, remember a couple years ago when like Billy Zane starred in a like either a Korean or a Chinese movie where like the Americans were the villains and he played the main villain, and they're like, Billy Zane, what are you doing? Like, he must have made so much goddamn money to just completely sell out his entire country. That I love when actors do that, when they make that choice. I'm sure Nicolas Cage has been in some like weird Chinese propaganda movies where he's just pure evil straight from hell, and they have to beat him with the power of kindness and togetherness.
Mm. It's mm-hmm. too bad, you know, Billy Zane. Like, I really thought he was really about to.
Do you think
have that resurgence?
Not the guy who. Listen, Billy Zane rocks, man. Okay, don't talk to me like you didn't watch Demon Knight 100 times when you were a kid. I wonder if they let the kid who's in jail for life, will they let him watch the sequel, the second season? You know what I mean? Like, if he's like, if it's good behavior, they're just like, hey, man, I know you got to have some questions. We're not going to let you out, but we're going to let you see season two. And if they make a third, we'll let you watch that too.
You know, what would be the benefit of that?
Just like, you know, it's you're not putting the spilled milk back in the carton. So just let him keep on watching. Maybe let him watch whatever he wants. And do you think Kim Jong-un has seen Squid Game?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. 100%. 100%.
Would you, if he was allowed free reign at Netflix, would you trade, like, a life in prison for that?
For what? To watch Squid Game?
Like, you get, it's like, okay, you're going to prison for the rest of your life, but you get a Netflix account now.
No. Maybe HBO Max. But but just Netflix. I mean, I've been in 10 years, they'll all have Netflix accounts. You'll be able to watch it on your goddamn thumb. But yeah, sorry to the guy who is getting shot. You're doing good work for your people. But how did this guy get caught? No one else did. I'd love to know. Actually, so I guess it's teachers, students, whatever. Don't be selling the kids.
I mean, my guess would be like they're just making an example of this particular group, unless they're really like going to go all around the country and start like shooting students who are doing this. Because it sounds like there's a decent amount. Everyone's still going to. That's the crazy thing about like human nature. Like people are still watching fucking Squid Game in North Korea right now.
Of course, it makes it more. Happening. I bet more people are watching now. It makes it more dangerous. One of the really crazy things about North Korea to me is when they say firing squad. They don't just mean like 10 guys lined up with rifles. They use airplane. They have these like insane weapons that they like to use. So when they execute someone, they shoot you with like something that is on like it's on the wing of an airplane, and your body just fucking explodes. It's not a bullet hole situation. It's 1 second you're there, the next second you hear the loudest thing you've ever heard, and then your body's gone.
At least it's quick.
I mean, that could be better. That's better than you know the old. You know, hanging back in the day and whatnot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why
guillotine.
They do it. That's why they do it.
The whole, like, horse, the drawn and quartered. You know a surprising amount about North Korea, Anthony, I gotta say.
I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating that, you know, people talk about, you know, the Holocaust and they say never again. And they're like, it's motherfucking happening right now. Like, what people get high and mighty about certain things. And it's like, you look at North Korea, I think there's more that we could be doing. And again, leftist politics coming out. I'm going to say that I think we should be doing more for the people of North Korea. And I love South Korea. I just hope that one day, I hope that in my lifetime, that reign of terror ends because it is like nowhere else on earth. Everything you hear is a goddamn horror show. But imagine if it wasn't Squid Game. Imagine if it was fucking like Red Notice. Like that would be even like 100 times more tragic. Because at least Squid Game has some like political aspects to it that make it dangerous. But if it was Red Notice, ugh. Oh, that would be tough. You take your own life.
What if it was like that blindfold movie with Sandra Bullock? What was that one?
Bird Box.
Bird Box? It'd be like Bird Box. We're going to kill you twice.
Yeah. Don't you keep your eyes closed. That movie to this day is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I love it. Two things about Bird Box. And I know I'm going way back in the way back machine. I only watched it once. But I love that. There's one part where Sandra Bullock is trying to get in the house. John Malkovich is a homeowner. And John Malkovich's wife goes to help Sandra Bullock because she's pregnant. And then she sees whatever it is you see that makes you want to kill yourself. And she gets into a burning car and closes the door. And John Malkovich looks at her and just blinks twice. He doesn't scream. There is no reaction. He looks as if he's watching a complete and total stranger drop a carton of eggs from 100 yards away. It made me laugh so hard that there was no reaction. And then at the end of the movie, Sandra Bullock has her child, which I believe is a boy. And there's a girl who was like someone else's baby who had the baby and they died. And Sandra Bullock just calls them boy and girl the entire movie. And at one point, Sandra Bullock is talking to the mother of the daughter before she dies. And she's like, I want to name him. When he's born, I want to name her. You know, Tabitha, if it's a girl, like Ryan, if it's a boy. And at the end of the movie, Sandra Bullock is like, all right, you're not boy and girl anymore. We're safe now. You are Jeff and you are Rachel. Like, there's no reason she names her something different than the mom wanted, but she just picks a completely different name. And that made me laugh out loud. So go watch Bird Box North Korea. I know you're listening. This is a great one. I can't wait to hear the description. I just know the headline. I'm very excited about it.
It's about a Georgian webcam model.
When you say Georgian, do you mean like the state of Georgia or
state of Georgia? Okay. Yes, state of Georgia. I was curious about that too. A Georgian webcam model who works for multiple adult websites who accidentally shot herself in the vagina with a 9mm firearm while filming an X-rated clip for her fans. Last week.
So she wasn't, was she, you know, kind of like dressed like a sexy cop and the gun went off and just hit her in the vagina? Or was she like full on, like, look what I can do with this gun? Are you guys turned on by the insertion of the gun? And then it went off. Because then I would think you're fucking dead. You know, I can see it grazing You know. Ugh. But Erica, back me up on this. The vagina is a sensitive place.
Yeah, very.
You know what I mean? It's like it's balls for chicks.
I think it's stronger than balls. I mean, your balls are so weak. The puss can take a lot, but it's very sensitive.
If we're talking gunshots.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
I think if it,
it's
I
a good point. Would you like die immediately? That wow.
If it was up, because you're hitting all kinds of shit if you go up there.
Oh my god! Why are we talking about this?
I want to throw.
I know why we're talking about it. It just grazed her.
Where?
She was
which angle?
I don't know. It's not on video.
It didn't
that
go
part,
inside. The bullet didn't go inside. It just went alongside.
It didn't sound like the injuries were even serious. She was bloody. But it basically just like a little bit, like, you know, it didn't sound like it was that serious. Like, she was able to call the police herself. Like, she had roommates there with her. She had different stories at different points of the investigation. So it's a little confusing whether it's like she was on live with her fans or she like was getting it ready and posting it. But the fans, some people did see it and, they were disturbed, you know, like she was doing, it sounded like she was
you
on
think?
Live and she, I don't know why she had the gun exactly. She was not dressed up as a cop or anything like that. I don't think, but she was just like flashing it around and then it just like, poof, and that was that. Oh.
I mean, because you know this is true, because if it was something else, like, you would think there's a fetish for that, you know? There is no fetish for, like, a gunshot vagina.
Ooh, well, here
no
we go.
No one is. Okay. Maybe. Listen, and again, the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Does not kink shame. Okay? Yeah, we lean heavily to the left. And... we're against what's going on in North Korea, but we do not kink shame. If you want to shoot yourself in the vagina, or you want to date someone who's been shot in the vagina, we're not going to tell you you're wrong to do that. Mm. But it seems odd.
I mean, I am for gun safety. I don't know if that's, you know, too far to the left or not. And it does not seem like she was too familiar with this gun, according to her, according to the fact that, like, the first time she ever picked it up, she fucking fired
it
into her.
Are you saying
vagina.
she's not a quick draw expert? I said the woman who, the sex worker who shot herself in the vagina on camera, might not have known what she was doing. Okay.
So the thing, I tried to find more about this story because it's a little confusing.
Tried to
me.
Find the video, huh?
Like, don't worry, no. Guys. I'm an expert. I can handle this. I'll be right back.
the one detail that was like in the like 12th paragraph of one story that I stuck to was at one point in the investigation, she said that the gun actually went off during a consensual sex act with her roommate. And so that makes me wonder if, like, that's really... And then she changed her story back to, like, she's doing it on the video, that maybe there was something going on between the two of them, and they were filming the two of them, and they were, like, almost worried that would get her friend in trouble, or I don't know, or just that they were just, like, kind of into trying something out and got a little...
Like, I'm not on OnlyFans or any of those other sites or anything.
She was a Chatterbait. Are you familiar with Chatterbait?
I've seen the ads for Chatterbait. But I can't imagine being like, oh, you got to check out this chick from Georgia. She's great. She shoots herself right in the junk. Like, unless, like, that's what you need to come at this point. It's just a full line. Like, it's got to be a flesh wound. You've got to see it.
It sounds like a threat. It's like, if you leave me, I swear I'll shoot myself in the vagina. And it's like, I don't know. Like, what? How would that ever happen? I don't know.
I'm sick.
Erica, let Greg sit in what he said. Let Greg giggle at himself. Yeah, this is totally disgusting. She should not have done this. I don't know if her career is going to take a hit off of this. I would think if you're the, like, because, like, porno bloopers are the worst bloopers out there. They're always like terrible. You think they're going to be funny? They're not. That this would be the ultimate. This would be the ultimate porno blooper. You know.
Imagine the trauma.
Imagine the trauma if Alec Baldwin was watching. You know, think about what he would be going through. What were we gonna say, Greg?
I don't know. I can't top that. So I was thinking maybe we go out on that. But I was going to mention, remember that show I worked on called Most Outrageous Game Show Moments?
Mm-hmm.
I think I did 4 and 5. That would be quite a show, like most outrageous porn moments.
I would love to see you pitching that. Be like, okay, so we got some outrageous porn moments. We've got this one where she falls down in the shower. That's funny. We've got this one where the guy's getting angrier and angrier that he can't perform. And then we have this one where a girl shoots herself in the vagina. We're going to save that one for last. You can't top that one.
This and now is
the... Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's the delay. It's the delay. Go ahead. Cut that out.
No. We're leaving it. It's the delay.
I don't know why I ever say cut that out, because then you just... And then we're leaving it.
And now it's time for...
Ad copy.
I do. You know what? I'm going to go back first. I like that you were like, there's 12 paragraphs into the third article I read. Like, you've been scouring the internet for more and more information.
It was confusing. I almost...
You're like, when I talked to her, she seemed like she was in good spirits. And just, you know, it was a mistake. This is why pencils have erasers.
It was not the third article. It seemed confusing. For a second, I was like, is this another one of those fake stories? But it definitely wasn't. But just something wasn't adding up. You know, I wanted to get to the bottom of this.
You thought there was something fishing about a sex worker shooting herself in the vagina? Because I think, yeah. I like your instincts, Greg. I like how you don't take it at face value. And now it's time for...
Ad copy.
Oh, Fight Camp. We've been with them all year. I got them in my back room right here, and it's just such a great tool.
If you have Fight Camp, you don't need a gun. And this that thing from before won't happen to you.
That's absolutely true. If you're ready to start fighting your fitness goals, make 22 your best year yet. I want to tell you about something that will revolutionize the way you work out. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your own home and makes it fun. You can learn to box. You learn to kickbox. You have access to world-class programming, elite trainers, premium equipment, and smart technology that turns your workout into an interactive experience. So some places, like, they give you the equipment and that's it. Like, Fight Camp gives you the equipment, the gloves, and then the teachers that teach you how to box, whatever type of fighting that you want to do, kickboxing. Well, you would just be like a straight-out boxer, Anthony. I don't know what your style would be.
I'm telling you, kickboxing, it's so, you get so much more cardio when you're using both your arms and your legs. The workout is just so much more intense. The kickboxing, I get why people do it. It's like you can work out half as long and get twice the workout with the kickboxing thing. That it is, it's extra hard. You're winded. I liked boxing more than kickboxing because it was easier. But I'll tell you this, okay? And I'm not a doctor, but I know that no one has ever gone to the hospital for punching themselves in the vagina. Think about that when it comes time for Christmas season and you're between Fight Camp and a gun.
There are thousands of classes you can choose from. With new workouts added each week, you'll find something new. You can filter different workout style, length, trainers. You can have workouts in as quickly as 20 minutes. Even if you have little to no boxing experience, Fight Camp has your back. That's basically what they created it for. Programs specifically designed to teach you the basics of boxing, kickboxing, and then you keep track of your data, real-time data that you can track your progress, have goals, full-body workout. They send it all to you. They make it easy, and the kids like it. Kids definitely like the Fight Camp, just like punching the bag, keeping track of like whether they're getting faster at punching. No heavy weights or spinning wheels. It's a great way for kids to get their energy out, learn something new. Now is the best time to get your Fight Camp. Take advantage of their holiday deal going on now. If you purchase this December, you'll get an additional pair of gloves for free. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/vanity to get an additional pair of gloves for free during December. Go to joinfightcamp.com/vanity. joinfightcamp.com/vanity. We've sold a lot of those Fight Camps.
I believe it. I think it's one of the best.
That's why they keep coming back. That's why they keep coming back. You know who else keeps coming back? Manscaped.
So you were talking before about Manscaped as a stocking stuffer. That's a flat out under the tree present.
That's a good one.
That's last day of Hanukkah shit. You know, this is the big one. I would think it's a cool present to get multiple ones. You know, have them all wrapped differently, and just give five of them to the hairiest person in your family. But it is like, it's one of the most romantic Christmas presents that you can get your dad. It's a cool thing to get your brother. You know, it's a cool thing to get your sisters. If they're seeing someone, be like, pass this along to
girls
Ted.
Can use it too. Why not
pass this along to Ted? Let him know it's from Anthony. You know, it's just a cool thing to do. That you, people used to leave cookies for Santa, and now you don't have to. Now you can leave a Manscaped for Santa. You come down and there's just hair everywhere.
My dad listens to this show.
Your dad's got
and
some.
And I just want to let you know, Dad, a little early. You're getting Manscaped for Christmas.
I would love to see the look on my dad's face. He would be so confused. He does not listen to the podcast. He does not know what Manscaped is. He would be polite and then confused. And then I'm almost positive he would be angry with me. But it would be worth it.
There are many different parts of the Manscaped stocking stuffer options that you could do. The 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, the cologne infused body wash. I guess these would be the stocking stuffer. You keep the Manscaped under the tree. In the stocking is the 2.0 shears, the 4-piece nail kit, the signature cologne, the ball wipes for your stanky balls. I guess if your dad like was curious what it was, just say it'll fix your stanky balls.
Here's what you do. Okay, it's early Christmas morning. You know, your mom and dad are asleep. You sneak into their room, and you use the Manscaped a little bit on them. You know what I mean? Wake them up like that, and then it's just like, it's Merry Christmas, Dad. He's not going to go all Scrooge on you. You know, he's gonna thank you.
Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/JRVP. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/JRVP. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped.
A true baller move to give it to everyone in your family. It's to just get like 10 of them and then watch them, watch with glee. Put them in different sized boxes so nobody knows what's really going on until the end. But I think it's the number one baller move. You know how like Jimmy Kimmel would have parents tell their kids, they'd video them and tell their kids they ate all the Halloween candy the day after Halloween and send them
yes.
in?
Yes.
Giving your entire family, regardless of age, gender, anything, giving them all Manscaped 4.0s and filming it would be the funniest thing of the year. I truly believe it.
If you don't think my kids are getting it, you got another thing coming.
Yeah,
what do we do with this, Dad? I was just like, someday.
Yeah, get them a couple. Get them two. Like, get them one and be like, they'll be like, haha, very funny. And they open up the other one and they're just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And you're like, nothing's wrong with me, Dad. Merry Christmas. It's Jesus' birthday. Do you know if they had Manscaped back when Jesus was alive, he'd still be alive today. One of the big reasons they crucified him was hair. Was too much hair. And the balls. That's a fact. And that was...
ad copy.
It took us 4 minutes of that ad read, but we got to the gold. You know, we got to the Jesus ball gold.
It'll be worth it just for the angry emails we get. I like them.
An LA firefighter is under investigation this week. This is a report from the Los Angeles Times. After allegedly wiping his non-compliance vaccine mandate letter between his butt at the station, leaving fecal matter on the document.
I love that there's an investigation into this. Like, isn't this an open and shut case? Didn't he like, hey, did you hear what Daryl did? Let's fire him. Because that is a gots to go situation. If you like faked it, if you like just kind of rubbed it on your butt and put it down, that's a firing situation. But to actually go all the way with it and have feces. And maybe he wasn't trying to make a statement. Maybe he was just looking for whatever he could find. He had a situation and just happened to be a non-compliance vaccine mandate letter. That I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but you got to go. You got to go if you're a firefighter and you're wiping your butt with that. And then handing it to someone, that's not cool.
He did it like in front of his bosses, like in front of the head of that fire station. And obviously in front of the person who handed him the vaccine mandate. The thing I can't get over is like, so he gets the piece of paper. As they hand it to him, he just like immediately drops his pants in front of everyone, like in the station, wipes his ass, and then there's like shit on it. Who just has shit sitting there in their ass just in case you need to wipe it with a vaccine mandate compliance letter? What the fuck?
Maybe it's because they're always sliding down poles like on the front, so their back ends get like a little extra.
Ew.
Like a little extra in there. Like if they slid down the poles backwards, it'd be clean. I got to think he'd been planning this for a while. Maybe he was one of those bigger firefighters. And they wear overalls. So he just had to kind of like unbuckle one of the overalls, do this. Maybe he was as surprised as everyone else that there was something on that paper. Because if I did this, I would think you put it down your pants, but not quite your underwear. So like everyone gets what you're saying. They don't need to see it. And I don't understand how if I'm your boss and you do this to me.
Why did he go so far up there? And it's like a piece of, it's not tissue paper.
No,
it's
that, like, it hurt
you're gonna get paper cuts. Like it is like a Xerox paper or whatever.
But why would you be like, you know what, Daryl? I want you to go home while we have an investigation into what just happened. You know exactly what. There's no investigation. You're fired. Why didn't they just say go home, never come back here, never do this again, start using toilet paper?
Because they're on his side. I mean, I think the fact that his bosses were sitting there watching this, it sounds like, you know, he's obviously not the only person that's having a problem with this vaccine mandate. He's just they're like annoyed that they're having to do this.
But that's even worse. That's even worse if you're all on the same side. It's like, why are you doing this to me? Like if Greg, if we got a letter of complaint and they were like, do you agree with this? And I was like, no, do you, Greg? And you wiped your ass with it and then handed it to me. I'd be like, motherfucker, why do I have to deal with this now? We're both on the same side. You just made this worse.
They're coming down from the city level and making them, you know, get the mandates. And many of the firefighters, you know, don't want to do it. And many do. I shouldn't paint with such a broad, shitty brush. You know, but it's like this guy. I don't know. Like, what? Do you think like he was proud of himself? Like in the moment, like he's like, all right, I'm gonna do this. But like, the like moment right afterwards where they're just like standing there and someone's holding the piece of paper and he's like, oh, I got to pull my pants up. That to me, that couldn't have felt good.
I'm sure he was excited to do it, a little bit nervous, and then embarrassed. As soon as it came out and he saw there was something on it, exactly. He was just like, I wish I had not done this. I wish I had like pantomimed it. He could have just spit on it. He could have just said, I'm not taking that. Like I'm sure a lot of guys did. You don't have to wipe your ass with things to get your point across.
They said that this is a quote, the department is aware of the seriousness of the allegations and took immediate action upon learning of this incident. So I guess they did put him, I don't know exactly what the action that they took immediately was, but I don't think he's going to work at least right now. You have to get vaccinated. You had to sign a letter to promise that you will get vaccinated by like the end of next month or this month or something like that.
I think it'd be funny if they gave him an exemption. If they're like, you know what, you're the only one who wiped your ass with it and like really wiped your ass with it, that we're going to let you stay on the truck and endanger your teammates.
The reporter tried to get him on the record, but they called his house and he just was like, wrong number.
Yeah. Why do you want to own up to this? Why would you want to admit to this? It's terrible. You thought you were going to be cool and it was just, it's not quite there, man. Not quite there. And now everyone knows what your shit smells like. It smells like shit.
All right. Our last one is a doozy. On November 18th, in the Indian city of Moradabad, an electrician who had gotten into a motorcycle accident earlier that night was pronounced dead on arrival at a local hospital. He was kept in a freezer there for at least 6 hours, but when his family arrived to identify the body, they noticed he was still breathing.
Oh, my God.
Whoops, my bad.
Did the guy wake up? Because maybe he was kept alive because they put him in a freezer. You know, I bet if they had just left him out, he would have died. That, like, slows down everything in the body.
That's true. Okay,
I don't even remember the original Batman series. But he would do that shit all the time to keep himself alive. He would slow down his breathing and his heart rate. That like, but yeah, if you drown in a frozen lake, you know what I mean. You have more time to be resuscitated than if you die in the tropics.
Like I hear you, but and here's another way you could have kept stayed alive is just stayed at the hospital and with the doctors keeping you alive instead of them sending you to the morgue. This isn't an appropriate time to leave that because it's not like a joke. I stand by that. I'm just asking, like, that would have been the other way to do it.
No one's arguing that he was a good doctor. Someone's losing their job over that one. That's got to be a tough one. I wonder what he looked like. That they were like, oh, this guy's fucking dead. Like, we can't get a pulse. And I bet he died shortly after the family saw him. You can't breathe very well in a freezer. Did they pull him
no,
out?
he's currently, at least as of the writing, in a coma. He's not exactly showing signs of life, and might be, you know, have brain damage and all this stuff. But he is breathing in a coma
on his own.
I believe.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, let's do a little role play. All right, I'm the doctor. I'm the guy who works at the morgue, who should have known that this guy wasn't dead. Greg, you are the brother of this guy who's coming to identify the body. All right.
Okay.
Right. Hey, you're the brother of the victim in the motorcycle accident. Would you just? I'm gonna pull him out of the freezer, and you're gonna tell me if this is your brother or not. And then I'm sorry you have to go through all this, but we just have to do it. It's a formality. So please just take as much time as you need. I'm opening the freezer now.
Yep. Oh, Rick. Wait, he's breathing.
Yeah.
He's moving.
Yeah, you're not a doctor. Is it him?
Yeah, it's
okay,
Rick.
I've got things to do. I'm going to close this now.
But there's like steam in the little bag on the thing. Like his mouth is moving.
Not my job, buddy. I'm in the identification business. And now that that's over, you want to call somebody? Go ahead. But I just need to know that was Rick. And you've done that for me. And now I'm going to go take off. Oh, you want a form that says he's still alive?
No, I want to get doctors to come in here and help him. He's clearly alive.
They were all in the same accident with him. We don't have any doctors left. But if you want a form that says he's still alive, I will wipe my ass with it and give it to
him. The my favorite part about the hospital's reaction is in a statement they said that it was nothing short of a miracle that they found him alive. It was like, it's not short of a miracle. You just fucked it up.
You fucked up so bad. You fucked up as bad as you could without the guy actually dying from like trying to claw his way out of the freezer. Cause that's when you'd be mad. Like, let's say, like, I love my brother to death. If he was in an accident and I went to identify the body and then like, actually he's still alive, I am relieved. I'm a little like I would question the hospital, but I would be like so excited. I'd be like, okay, I'm just so happy that he's still alive that I'll forgive whatever mistakes were made. But if I get there and he's dead and his fingernails are gone because he was trying to claw his way out of the body bag, I am murdering anyone with a stethoscope. Anyone with a stethoscope. Veterinarians.
What if there was some other explanation? How would you like have determined so quickly that his fingernails were gone from clawing out? Just the claw marks?
That's what you do. That's what you do if you're locked in a freezer. You're trying to get out. You can't breathe. If you get buried alive, you're not.
Okay.
You're coming up without fingernails.
All right. I've got a couple comparable cases that they brought up at the end of this article. And I'll explain why this has happened a few times, or similar cases have happened. Once in 2020, a man presumed dead in Kenya woke up screaming when a morgue worker sliced his leg open in preparation to embalm him.
Oof. Yikes.
That hurts. And then in 2011, morgue attendants in South Africa ran away after a guy sat up shouting that they believed to be a dead man. That's more just like a comedy routine, but
yeah. I mean, I would think if you work with dead people, like, what is it like if you bury someone? Let's say you're a grave digger. When you bury someone, it sounds, you hear a gurgling sound, and that's like the dirt settling. And a lot of times people like the first day they think the person's still alive. And they'll like dig up the body and then like realize what it is. Like working with dead bodies, you always gotta be looking over your shoulder. And that's without surgeries.
they did have a doctor, and I think it was from the hospital, said that there's like examples of something called suspended animation, where there's a temporary cessation of vital organs without death, and that like maybe that explains it.
Sure. He was like, oh, no, there's this thing. This happens all the time. This isn't my fault at all. Don't get, you know, this is just a thing. It's the circle of life. We did our job. All we had to do was get a pulse, put a mirror under his nose, and we did not do that. But he just made up medical terms to get out of being sued, which I'm sure he is going to be sued.
Maybe he was just busy there that night.
And now it's time for
Choo-choo.
Recommendation station. Greg, what do you got?
I'm going to recommend a movie tonight. King Richard, new movie that came out about Venus and Serena Williams' father, Anthony breathes in deeply because, you know, he can't be open-minded to anything.
It sounds like an inspirational story about a guy who yells at his daughters all the time.
No.
Thank God they were good at tennis. You got to get perfect grades, and you got to be the best tennis players in the world, which is like, it's nice that they are now, but if they hadn't been. Like,
no.
If it had been about just a guy who was just like a real like mean tennis father, it wouldn't
be. But he wasn't mean.
That's
story. You know, he wasn't mean necessarily at all. Like, their family was very close. You should be taking my recommendations, by the way, and like drinking them in. I noticed today the New York Times Book Review released their best 10 books of the year, like mm-hmm. five novels, five nonfiction, and I think three of my books that I recommended throughout the year. Or four of them are on that list. How about that? Intimacies was there. The Copenhagen trilogy was there. The Patricia Lockwood book was there.
I think the only one I read of the 10, I believe, was the Copenhagen trilogies. And I thought that came out fucking 20 years ago. It just came out this year in America.
I guess they re-released it. But yeah, or maybe it came out for the first time. Yeah. What was that other one? How Beautiful We Were. Anyways, King Richard's really good for what it is. Like, it's a good sports movie. Like, it's gotten great reviews. The actors in it are all good. Like, obviously, you're not going to like it. But if you're, like, someone that would like a family sort of traditionalist sports movie, it's about as good as, like, those types of movies are. Like, Will Smith is very good in it. His wife, who plays Orisine, the actress that plays his wife, Orisine, Anjanou Ellis, would not be surprised if she got nominated for like a best actress. And it's it was kind of like an interesting way to do a sports movie. It was like an origin story. It looked really good. Like, the cinematographer who did There Will Be Blood did it. It was like good people did it. And it was just like them as kids, basically. And you never actually see them as pros or anything like that. And it's a family story for
Listen,
sure.
I
something
would,
you can
I
watch
happily,
with kids.
Greg, I do like your recommendations. I don't want to slam the things you recommend. I would be willing to watch King Richard, especially on HBO Max, where I can just do it for free and just sit down and enjoy the movie, if Will Smith would stop this mission he is on to tell the world how he fucks. He can't stop talking about how he fucks, the ways he fucks, things that he got upset about and did different things to fuck differently. Like, he's got a book coming out or something where he is telling people way too much. That between him and his wife, the lovely Jada Pinkett Smith, I'd like a little privacy from you.
I didn't
guys.
Know anything about these stories.
It's
about
been
about
everywhere.
Oh,
how
Google
he fucks.
How does Will Smith fuck, and it will be you'll get all the paragraphs you want.
You don't get any of that in this movie, but it also was like a sports movie where the sports looked very realistic. Like, they looked good playing tennis. Everything.
Here's my
good.
Impression of the movie. Looks like you got the next Michael Jordan. I got me the next two Michael Jordans. Now listen to how I fuck. Eric, what do you have? What do you have for us this week?
So I rewatched a movie last night from 2008 called In Bruges. And it's a great movie about a hitman, these two Irishmen. If you haven't seen it, it's a weird, dark comedy sort of gone wrong. The plot is basically this hitman's on the run from accidentally shooting someone in a confessional, and it kills a kid. So he, like, goes on the way. But he goes on his trip to hide. But the reason I watched it is last night I was in my hot yoga class. And I'm standing at the mirror. I'm on my mat. I'm in hot yoga. And I look into the mirror, and next to me, there's this guy in these little baby white shorts. And this guy's, like, packing, but to the point where it was like he should not be wearing these small of shorts. Like, it was too much. And so my eyes, I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? And my eyes go up the mirror, and I see that it's Colin Farrell next to me in hot yoga. And it was right at the beginning of the class. It was, like, right before I did my hour class. And I was like, how the fuck am I supposed – and he's, like, backbending in these little baby shorts with his, you know, down below's hanging. Like, it was so
That's distracting. Why he was wearing the shorts, though. That's a feature, not a bug. Like, you were
yeah,
saying,
like
why would he be wearing
focus.
That? He's trying to show
like,
it off.
It was just not – it was not – but then I was like, okay. Then I'm thinking during my yoga class, obviously, a lot about Colin Farrell. And he looks great, by the way, for 45. Wicked in shape. But I was like, oh, my God. What is my favorite Colin Farrell movie? And I was like, I like The Lobster. Like, there's a lot of good ones. And I was like, In Bruges is a classic. And I'm going to rewatch it. And it's just as good.
And Bruges is great. I would also put Killing of a Sacred Deer up there as favorite Colin Farrell movies. The Lobster, maybe even better than that. But Bruges is an all-time great movie.
Love it.
One of the best depictions of cocaine from an actor on screen. Not even by Colin Farrell, but from the other guy, his partner in
Harry
that
or whatever his name is.
I love it. Well, my favorite Colin Farrell story is Colin Farrell's like a notorious partier. And maybe he's chilled out with age, but like a notorious party, but you've also never heard an unprofessional story about him. No director's ever complained. He's always like, he comes in, does the job. That he was doing a movie called SWAT with Samuel L. Jackson. And Samuel L. Jackson said every morning he'd be there on set and Colin Farrell would get carried to his trailer. Flat out, like totally unconscious, reeking of whiskey, carried by his entourage into his trailer. And 20 minutes later, he's standing on set with a cup of coffee going, "How you doing, man?" And he nails all his lines, knows everything. I think he's just like, he's the most Irish person that's ever existed. And I love Colin Farrell for that. So good on Colin. Watching Bruges. I'm going old school too. I was in a yoga class and I see this like guy with just a fucking monster dick next to me. Just like fucking just huge monster dick. And I'm about to start this class and I'm like, God damn, that's the biggest dick I've ever seen. It was Will Forte. And I thought, what's my favorite Will Forte movie? I don't know if anyone saw the trailer. The quote I did up top was the new trailer for the new MacGruber series that's on Peacock. That my only complaint is that I'm not a part of it. I've been screaming from the rafters since day one of MacGruber the movie.
You are so ahead of this.
It's the funniest thing. It's the best thing. I would get mad at people for not listening to me. I'm like, I'm a professional comedian. I'm telling you, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And everyone who eventually saw it was like, yes, you are right. I've watched it a million times, and it's just as funny as it was back then. And the MacGruber, the series on Peacock, starting December 16th. So get ready for December 16th to watch Peacock. I don't know if they're going to, like, if it's going to be a binge thing, but I will get Peacock for this. And go watch MacGruber, the movie again. It is the funniest movie I have ever seen. And I love Airplane. I love The Naked Gun. Top Secret's up there. I've got many movies that I'm like, these are the funniest. If I could have one desert island comedy, it would be MacGruber for sure. So check out MacGruber. I don't know where you can see it. I'm sure it's pretty easy. And it'll be on Peacock, the new series, which if you watch the trailer, it is like batshit hilarious. My brother and I have been quoting it a bunch. It's got amazing graphics. Like everything is just hilarious that I'm sure the series will not let us down, even though we lost Powers Booth. And I'm sure Val Kilmer will not be making an appearance. But hopefully Kristen Wiig, hopefully Ryan Phillippe, and whoever they put in it, they won't be as good as me. But I would have just done anything just to be a guy who gets his throat ripped out. Anything to be a part of it. So hopefully they get another season and they can correct that mistake. I know the director knows who I am and knows I'm a fan and has answered my tweets about the movie. So check out MacGruber, check out the series, even though we'll be talking about it more in the weeks to come. We're doing JRVP straight through the end of the holidays, just to give you your Manscaped needs. Now, speaking of Manscaped, Debbie, get me out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.